Blessed Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace again this morning. Through the Lord, our God Israel, ruin our soul. And for the joy, Lord, we receive from you because of the living word of life that is granted to us in this hour. Even, Lord, as we see the world in the condition that it is in, there's so much uncertainty now with all the financial upheaval, Lord, with the American dollars sliding and the price of barrels of oil is going up and up. And the other countries, Lord, that are gearing up for whatever is ahead of them, we see Bible prophecy unfold before us. We see the nation of Turkey, Syria, Iran, and all the problem that U.S. faces, oh Lord, with even Russia, over nuclear weapons and stuff like this, Lord. And we see, Lord, over in the States of America, we see how they are gearing up, Father, for the soon coming election that will take place next year. And but we are so glad, Father, that we can see all these signs unfolding. Even in this part of the world of Asia, we see the kings of the East building up for the great day of the Lord that is to come. All these signs, Lord, that we are seeing fulfilled, it tells us, Father, to look up and lift up our head towards heaven. For soon, Lord, our redemption will be complete at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. While we are yet still here, Father, for a little season of time, Lord, continue to guide us and lead us into thy word. Continue to feed us, Father, in this world of wilderness. Lord, even so as we have already entered into thy promised word, help us, Lord, to be willing to look at the old corns of the land, old corns of the word of God, and see your hand breaking down those corn bread of the word of life to us as fresh manna to us every day in this life that we live, Father. This life is only worth the living because of Jesus Christ, because He's alive, because He's real. So, Father in heaven, we give you all the praise and glory this morning for this privilege, Lord, to be called children of the living God. And we are children of the living God because you make it possible through your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And so we are here this morning sitting under your feet. Lord, as we sit under your feet, we ask for your presence now to lead us and guide us, Lord. And the little things, O Lord, that we are reminded of from thy word. The Lord, as we continue to look into thy word, we know, Father, you will continue to unfold things to us. And we know, Father, things that are coming upon this world are going to be very dreadful. And that thy word says that we should be watchful and praying that we be worthy to escape all these things that is to come. So, Father, into thy hand we commit our spirit and our souls, Lord, to your safe keeping. As even now, as long as there is breath in us, help us, Lord, to continue feeding upon thee and glorify thee and bless thy holy name. And to give you all the blessing, all the praises and the glory, Father, that is in Christ Jesus granted to us. We give it back to thee, Father, for your blessing upon us, Lord. In Jesus' name this morning now we ask, Amen. Alright, to the book of Deuteronomy, there's something that I want to just bring it out. We are now at this junction of time with children of Israel coming up in the plain of Moab. Surely that preparing just to go over the land of Canaan. Book of Deuteronomy chapter 4. We're going to try to go as much as we can because it's dealing with the subject basically of God through Moses speaking to the children of Israel to go possess the land. Chapter 4, we have Moses' exhortation to the children of Israel to obey the word of the Lord, and as we know that we did it last week in verse 2, you shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Verse 5, behold, I have taught you statute and judgments, even as the Lord your God commanded me, that you should do so in the land whither you go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nation, which you shall hear, you shall bear all this statute. And say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great who have God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon Him for? And what nation is there so great that have stature and judgment so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thy eye have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy words, thy sons, and thy sons' sons. Especially the day that thou stood before the Lord thy God in Horeb, which the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they live upon this earth, and that they may teach their children. And you came near and stood up under the mountain, and the mountains burned with fire unto the midst of heaven, with darkness, clouds, and dark. And thick darkness. And the Lord said unto you, out of the midst of the fire, you heard the voice of the words, but saw no similitude, only you heard a voice. And He declared unto you this covenant which He commanded you to perform, even 10 commandments, and He wrote them upon 2 tablets of stone. And the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and commandments and judgments, that ye might do them in the land whither you go over to possess it. Now here we have a recollection, of course, of what happened in Mount Horeb. You know, as it says, we said, concluded last week, this verse, few verses of chapter 4. The children of Israel, of course, were told to keep all that they have learned when they possessed the land. And to remember that in the keeping of the Lord of God, in keeping the word and commandment of God, is wisdom and understanding. You know, without the word of God, there is no wisdom. No matter what, you know, the wisdom comes from the word of God. Understanding comes from the word of God. Understanding of life, you know, wisdom in the way we live our life. And so Moses recalled this and told them about what happened in Mount Horeb, or in Horeb, which is Mount Sinai. And you know, in verse 12, I want to let you know, as I said, that when we study this history, or the journey from Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation, time and eternity, we want to pick up some of the things that are relevant to us and apply to us in these days. Because the book of, all these historical books that were written about Israel, not just history book for the sake of history, but they are things that are practical and applicable to our times and our days and to our life as Christians. Verse 12, the Lord spake unto me out of the midst of the fire. You heard the voice of the words, but saw no similitude, only you heard a voice. Now the word voice here is a Hebrew word kor, means a sound. You heard the voice, doesn't mean that you really heard the voice as you are hearing my voice, a word that you can understand. But you heard a sound, like in the days when Saul or Paul was on the way to Damascus, you know, to go and find those who believe in the way and bring them to judgment. And the Lord Jesus appeared to him on the way, and all those that were with him heard the noise and the thunders and the sound, but they didn't hear the voice of God except for Paul, except for Saul, who heard the Lord spoke to him and saw Saul, you know, and called him by his name. And so it's the same thing when Moses was up there in this mountain, on Mount Sinai. There was all this volcanic action, there was this fire and just this thick smoke and all that was going on. And there was all this thundering and lightning that were going on up there in this Mount Sinai. The people are down in the valley, they were fearful about this event and they kept away. And but Moses was up there, and that was when God was communicating with Moses. They heard all those noise, the voice and the thundering, but they did not understand what was going on up there. And of course, as Moses said, you saw no similitude. You heard the voice of God, but you didn't see any similitude. You don't see a figure of a man. You don't see, you know, that is God. Moses is was reminding the people that God is not a man. You cannot liken God to any creatures on this earth. And Moses was reminding them because the land that they're already on, you know, that when they were in Egypt, they were already learning the ways of the Egyptian life, and many of them, of course, were already worshipping some of the pagan gods. And now they are going to this land of Canaan, they are going to get this land, and there were all these pagan people out there, the giants out there, they are wicked people, they do not believe in Yahweh, they don't know anything about Yahweh. And so Moses reminding them that Yahweh is not likened unto any similarity of man, or any figure of a man, or a likeness of man, whatever your imagination may be. And like it is said, of course, in India, they believe in one God, but they have at least 500 million, I can't remember now, you know, gods and goddesses that they have. You know, and they liken their God, or gods, or goddesses to elephant, to peacock, to anything, to snakes, to alligators, and cows, and whatever you have. You know. So Moses is reminding them about the commandment that God had given them on Mount Horeb also as well. Alright? And that's the reason why in verse 13, God, the commandment were given. In verse 15, take heed to thyself, therefore good heed unto yourself. For you saw no manner of similitude on the day that the Lord spake unto you in Horeb out of the midst of fire, lest you corrupt yourself and make you a graven image. The similitude of any figure, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any beast that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged fowl that fly in the air, the likeness of anything that creepeth on the ground, the likeness of any fish that is in the water beneath the earth, and so on and so forth. Moon, stars, so on. You know, we have, as Christian people, now in Christianity we have the Catholic. They worship the Virgin Mary. And the thing is that, of course, is not only that they, you know, we all have, in every religion, practically, there is iconic representation. And we have, of course, pictures of a painting of Jesus Christ, like artists like Hoffman, who painted the Last Supper, you know, the head of Christ. They usually call the head of Christ, but actually it was taken from a painting of Christ speaking to the rich man, remember. And now we know that according to, if I remember reading it, there were two great artists. One is Hoffman, the other one is Soffman. Now, the Soffman's painting is the one that you've probably seen, is the one that painted of Jesus Christ knocking at the door. You ever seen the one where Jesus Christ knocked on the door of a house with a staff in his hand? And that's Soffman's painting. According to the testament that I read, both of these men had actually night visions or dreams, you know, when Christ appeared to them in it. And so they saw the face of Christ, so they tried to remember how Christ, remember the face of Christ, and they tried to recollect as much feature of that face, and they paint the picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we know that those are just painting. They are not to be worshipped. They are just an iconic painting of someone whom we know. And we know that by looking at the picture in itself, you can see that the artist has captured a face that is very serene, very, it's just so attractive to look at because of the way that it was painted, the feature of this man called Jesus that the artist painted. Now, we know that the Bible says we should not have any graven images and things like that we worship. And of course, the Catholic will have an icon, even not just a picture, that they have on an altar, and then they light candle before the altar or before the picture. There is actually literally worshipping an image. You know. But of course there are on the other extreme, we have some denomination that completely disallowed any picture even in the house. Not just a painting of Christ, you know, as a picture on the house. They don't even allow your father's photograph, your grandfather's photograph, your own photograph to be hanged in the home. You can put it in the album, but never hang it up. Therefore, that should mean no, even any figuring, a figure of the horse on the shelf or anything. They even don't believe any such thing like that. So he just go to the home of such a person, there's practically nothing to see in the house. They probably have teapots and cups on the in the cupboard and shelf, you know, a teacup and teapot from China, teacup and teapot from India, or something like that. That's probably what they have. But they will not have any figurine of any creature upon this earth. There are denomination churches like that in America that actually strictly stress on this thing because they take it from the Bible, the commandment. But that is not what the Bible said. It's talking about having this and worshipping it. And said that this is the God that they worship. So we may have a painting in the house of Jesus Christ, but we don't worship that picture. You understand? We said that represents Christ. That is how we artists believe that Jesus Christ looked like. But we don't say that is actually the face of Christ. Do you understand that? You know, of course, the Bible said here in that God Himself, now, it's not the Son of God we're talking about God Himself, Yahweh. The Bible says He is Spirit. Is that right? And nobody have seen God at all. Only Jesus Christ Himself has declared God. He is in the bosom of the Father. So nobody has seen God. God is Spirit. So you can never liken God to anything. But Jesus Christ was the Son of God. He came as a man. You know, and there were descriptions about Jesus Christ on record. You know, how they described Him, how tall He was and so on. Of course, Jesus Christ isn't a 6 foot man. It's about 5 feet, if I'm not mistaken, 5 feet 8 or something like that. There was a record, describing Him. You know, and so, even Josephus, the book of Josephus, historian also described Him. You see, of course, Josephus based it. Josephus came later, he never really seen Christ, but he got a record from others who spoke of Jesus Christ. You know, and so being Christ, that He, Christ came as a man, God, the Son of God came as a man, so you cannot say that, well, nobody has seen God, but nobody has seen God in one sense of the word, He is Spirit, but people have seen Christ, the Son of God, who was God made manifest in flesh. So it's a difference between what is the spirit side and what is the manifestation of God in the natural. Alright, but just to let you know this, because we have all this interpretation of scripture where people go into extreme on both sides. Alright, now in verse 21. Here, of course, regarding the thing that is supposed to go over to the land of Jordan. Furthermore, the Lord was angry with me for your sake and swear that I should not go over Jordan and that I should not go in after the good land, unto the good land which the Lord thy God give thee for an inheritance. Remember this, Moses said 3 times, you know, it was for, because of you, I'm not given this privilege to go into the land of Jordan. But I must die over this side of Jordan and not cross over. And remind them, of course, that God is a consuming fire. Verse 24, for the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. And we all said this before. A question when I asked me, Brother Gad, where is the lake of fire? Where is the lake of fire, Brother Gad? You asked me. And we know the Bible talks about the lake of fire. Now, where is the lake of fire? Now, we always say in all these things that we discuss or we have learned. You know, Brother Bam taught there are about 5 dimensions. Or 7 dimensions, sorry. There are 7 dimensions. Or we would say there are 3 heavens, briefly. The first heaven is the space where we breathe and where the birds fly. The second heaven is the outer space, and third heaven is where God is. And so don't try to look beyond space and see the third heaven up there somewhere. Okay, because it's a dimension. Or heaven means the space. And of course, when you talk about the 3 dimension, we are living in a 3-dimensional world. The 4th dimension, of course, is where the wicked dead goes. The 4th dimension is where the angels move. Alright? And the angels are here. You don't see them. That's another dimension. That's 4th dimension. The 5th dimension is where the dead goes. And where do the dead goes? I mean the wicked one. They go right down in the center of the earth. And they are held there until the day of judgment. Okay? The 6th dimension is paradise. And where is on earth is paradise? Paradise is not up there somewhere. It's here. You don't believe me? It's right here. But you don't see it because it's another dimension. And people say, well, prove to me, Brother Graham. Well, I have to give it to you and see what Brother Graham says. Maybe you can get something. You remember Brother Graham one time talked to eating at a table with a group of believers, and there was this sister, I think, was talking about the mother who passed away. You know, and how that she was a believer. And Brother Graham said, you know, he said, sister, if your mother is not 2 feet away from you, And the Lord will take the veil, you will see her. So where is the sixth dimension? So where is the seventh dimension? Seventh dimension is where God is. As we all said, but where is God? Where is the seventh dimension? And seventh dimension, all these seventh dimensions are all around this earth. They are all built around this earth. This first heaven and this earth. And the seventh dimension is where God is. But where is God? God is right there in your heart. If you have God in you. If you are born again child of God, that's where it is, right? God said, I'll write my words. No longer on tablets of stone. I'll write it in upon your heart. I'll give you a new heart. I will write my words in your heart. That's why He gives the word of life to you through Jesus Christ. When you receive the gospel, you are born again. He put His Spirit in you. And where the Spirit of God is, there must be the word. Because the Spirit of God will identify with His own word. So if you receive the word of the gospel of life, if you receive Jesus Christ into your heart, you receive the word of life. Christ is the word of God made manifest. If you take Him into your heart and believe Him as your Savior, then the Spirit of God will return and identify with that word that is placed in your heart. That's why God said, Behold, I give you a new heart. I make you a new creation. So that's the seventh dimension. God is right here in your heart. Don't look somewhere out there and far away. You know what I'm talking about? Only the reason why we pray, we lift up our head is that you know that is we don't look down, because when you look down, and the Bible talks about the downward cast, is that you are either despondent, or maybe you are in sorrow or in depression. When people are sad, they walk like this, you know, walking on the floor. Isn't it? But when you are cheerful, you looked up. When you want to praise the Lord, you looked up. Because we talk about high places. We talk about the thrones above the earth, so to speak. But God's throne is in your heart. Amen? So the sixth dimension is paradise. Somewhere it's here, but it's another dimension. It's just another realm that you cannot go through. The angelic realm is here, the fourth dimension. You don't see them, but they are here. If God were to take the veil away, you will see them. You understand that so? Then the day when Adam, before sin came, he could see the angel. He could see into the other dimension. The servant of Elisha, you know, God took away the veil and he saw the armies of all the angels around the camp of the enemies. Is that right? True. And I believe one time, Joseph told his father he wanted to see the angel. And Abraham says, I'll pray to the Lord and see if He will let you see the angel. And the Lord granted him and taken the veil away from him, and he stood into that angel realm. And the angel stood before him. And of course he was afraid. Because you know, to be able to see into that other realm, it can be very terrifying if you don't live the life of God. Suddenly you see all that holy, you know, angel, and you are in a realm that is completely not natural. You are into a spiritual realm to see all that. Okay? Alright, so God is a consuming fire. So where is the lake of fire? That's interesting to say, where is the lake of fire? We all know. And we know that, you know, the Bible said, Jesus said, fear not him that can destroy your body, but not the soul. Fear him, rather, who could destroy both your soul and body in hell. Is that right? Okay, so only God could destroy your body and soul. The devil could destroy your body, but he can't destroy your soul, but God could. And how does God destroy a soul that is wicked? By His Word. His Word is consuming fire, for God is a consuming fire. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And all God has to speak is to speak the Word. And that Word itself will be a fire that consumes your soul. So if you are looking to the lake of fire, it will have to be right in the center of the earth, where Jesus went down in the day when he was buried. His spirit went down to the soul in prison. And he took the key and opened up all those gates that locked up all these holy men of old and set them free, taking them captive to himself, no longer the captives of Satan, no longer under death, but already free because Christ conquered death. And so Christ lifted up and lifted that realm of the righteous into the realm of the paradise and left all their wicked souls still locked up there in Sheol. Alright, let us continue. Now in verse 25 onward, when thou shalt beget children and children's children, and you shall have remained long in the land, and shall corrupt yourself, and make graven image, or the likeness of anything, and shall do evil in the sight of the Lord thy God to provoke him to anger, I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day, that you shall soon utterly perish from off the land, whereunto you go over Jordan to possess it. You shall not prolong your day upon it, but shall utterly be destroyed. And God, the Lord, shall scatter you among the nations, and you shall be left few in number among the heathen, whither the Lord shall lead you. And there you shall serve gods, the work of man's hand, wood and stone, which neither see, nor hear, nor eat, nor smell. And if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou shalt seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. When thou art in tribulation, all these things are come upon thee, even in the later days. If you will turn to the Lord thy God, and shall be obedient unto his word. For the Lord thy God is a merciful God. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy father, which he sware unto them. Now, this is Moses' warning to them, but at the same time it was a prophecy. When your children's children, when you beget children and children's children, and have remained long in the land of Canaan, and true enough, they did. But they turned around and went after all the other nations and intermarried with them, follow the gods of those other nations. They know not Yahweh. God said, Moses said, God would then scatter you. He will scatter you. You will be in tribulation. In the later days, and already came to pass, time, one time, two time, and then finally, they were scattered all over the world. He said, then we said, when you seek the Lord, they're so in the scattering, in the last scattering, which we call the diaspora, during the Second World War, before the Second World War, in the day of Jesus Christ, 70 AD, you know, when they said, to crucify Jesus and let his blood be upon us, upon our children's children, and so on. God took them at their word. And so finally in 70 AD, Jerusalem was destroyed and the children of Israel were scattered throughout the world. So when they were left scattered throughout the world and they're wandering out there, of course each time they came, they have their Passover, they always said, next year in Jerusalem, next year in Jerusalem. So they were scattered for a whole long years. Number of years, hundreds, thousand plus years, we'll say. And then, of course, in the First World War, after the First World War, the British give them the Balfour Declaration that the land of Israel would be given to them. And so it was only in the Second World War, after the Second World War, on the 16th of May, 14th of May, I believe, that 1948, the nation of Israel became a nation overnight. And so then they returned back. Prior to that, every time they have their Passover, they always cried out, next year in Jerusalem, next year in Jerusalem. As Moses said, if you will seek the Lord, he will forgive you and bring you back. And God did. And King Moses came on reminding them in verse 33, did ever people hear the voice of God speaking out the midst of fire as thou hast heard and lived? Verse 35, unto thee was shown that thou might know that the Lord Yahweh, he is God, and there is none beside him. Verse 39, know therefore this then, consider in thy heart, that the Lord Yahweh, he is Lord God of heaven above, and upon the earth beneath, there is none else. Moses reminded them, this is just last few days of Moses' life, when they were out there in this plain of just around Moab, here above this region of Moab. And it just, about, I would say, Moses was there for about 30 odd days before he passed away. Alright, chapter 5. Here again, Moses recounts. We collect all these events and give to them, the children of Israel, concerning the covenant given in Mount Sinai and the Ten Commandments. And we all know about the Ten Commandments very well, I believe. Which is basic guide, a basic law, that in fact every nation is kind of following it. but apparently, of course, the pagans don't. All right, now chapter 6 we have is the great commandment given here. Verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. That is, Yahweh, our Elohim, is one Yahweh, one Lord. And thou shalt serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And this word which I command you this day shall be in thy heart. Now I want to bring out something here that I want you to understand. All this word which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy son and to thy children, and shalt talk of them when you sit in thy house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thy eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. Now, okay, let me just show you something here. You see this picture here? Now, the Jew somehow incorporate what Moses said here in verse 8. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand. And so they have a little box in which they contain four passage of scriptures. The first one, of course, is in Exodus 13. Just turn there quickly and look at it so what you understand what that first passage is. Exodus chapter 13, verse 1 to 10. This is the first. Exodus chapter 1, chapter 13, verse 1 to 10. And the second portion is from 11 to 16. Got it? And then we have in Deuteronomy, the third passage, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 to 9. That's what we read. Hear, O Israel, and so on. Verse 9. And then verse chapter 11, Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 13 to 21. And so come to pass, you hearken diligently unto my commandment, and so on. Okay, now, with all these four passages, they wrote it all on pieces of paper, and wrote it up, and put all this in a little box. And then they bind this box around their arm, with the box facing inward to their heart, the side of their heart, the left hand. Now, on the other hand, the other one, if you go back to the same chapter where we are, chapter 6, it says, and they shall be as frontlets between thy eyes. So they put this box, another one, on top of their forehead, between their eyes. Now, the question is that what the Bible, is that what God, through Moses, told them to do? You know, this was never practiced, obviously, in the days of Moses. But it was only when they were scattered. Now, how then do we look into the scripture, the verse right here? Let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Look at this verse 5. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and thy mind. This word which I command you shall be in your heart. This word which I command you shall be in your heart. And you shall teach them diligently unto your children. Talk to them when you sit in your house. And when you walk with them, by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up, that means constantly remind your children this word of the Lord. And you shall bind in thy hand. Means what does it bind in hand? It's not to do putting a box with all these words and then put it into your hand. It doesn't mean that. Remember the mark of the beast. Huh? And the mark shall be upon their hands and their forehead. You're not going to say the words 666 or what kind of mark that is. The Antichrist is going to use, you know, to stamp on your forehead or to laser it onto your hand. That's not what it means. We know the mark of the beast. We know who is that Mr. Babylon that sits on that beast. We know Mr. Babylon is this religious world today. We know that there is a mother of a harlot who is this great mystery Babylon, the great mother of harlots. And we know that it's the Vatican. He's going to control the bees, which is Europe, European Union. Now we know that through her that she's going to create this image. And we know already an image of the beast is already here, the ecumenical movement, ecumenism, World Council of Churches. And you know, and the Bible said, if in the Great Tribulation, if you don't have this mark, you cannot buy and sell. So when you have this mark on your hand, means to say that you are willing to do what they tell you to do. On your forehead is to believe what they tell you to believe. So that hand is to do. The forehead is to believe because it is in front of you. Now, when we talk about thinking, as I said, when you are deep in your thoughts, you always tendency, maybe you put your hand on there and think, maybe you're tired, you put your hand there. It's all is up here. Well, we always say, it is all up here. It's all up here, isn't it? We don't say, it's all up here. We don't point to the back of our head, it's all up here. We say, it's all up here. It's always between your front. You understand that? You see? Do you think with the back of your head or think with the front of your head? Or do you think with your heart? I think with my heart. Because that's where the Word of God is, actually. Alright? So the Bible talks about love God with all your, you know, with your mind. The mind is not in the head. The mind is in the heart. Do you realize that? Yes. Your mind is in your heart. We talk about renewing of our mind. Paul talks about the renewing, be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Huh? So when you think the thing, but you think with your brain? No, it's not thinking with the brain because the brain is just cells. You think with your spirit. And that's where the mind of God is. God is spirit. He doesn't have a brain and he thinks and he has a mind. And God doesn't use brain because God don't have a brain, so to speak. So when we look at the Bible, talk about we love God with all our hearts, you know, soul, mind, body. It's talking about what's inside here, the spirit. You see. So all these that God told to Moses, to the children, to do is to remember the word of God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord. Keeping that in the, between your head and the box, you know, the words in the box, and have it, you know, tied to your forehead, or have it tied to your arm, it doesn't do you any good. I mean, a lot of people are religious. They go to church, as we say, go to church with the Bible, but they don't keep the commandment of God and do it. You understand that? They don't keep the word of God in their heart and do it. They can go to the church and read it and say, yes, I have the Bible, I believe the Word of God, I believe what it says here in the commandments in the Bible, but yet they don't do it. So he's supposed to teach the children, remember to keep that in thy heart, as Moses said to the children of Israel, to do it and remember it. That is when you get up in the morning, you get up, you breathe. You remember, that means right into your front, that means the way that you look at life. That I get up in the morning, I remember to keep the commandment of God and to do it. So it's not what these Jews are doing, all this. You know the Jews today, you know, because of their rejection of Christ, and they don't really have Jesus Christ as the Messiah. They didn't recognize him. Their forefathers didn't recognize him. And they went through rituals. All the centuries of past, they went through all these rituals. Lighting candles and whatever not. You know, observing all these feasts that the Lord had given to Moses. Not knowing that all those seven feasts of Jehovah were already fulfilled in parts. Or first four were already fulfilled. And the next three will be fulfilled when Israel comes back to their homeland. And it's going to fulfill very soon. And they will then see the Lord Jesus Christ, the one whom their forefather have crucified, is none other than the Messiah. Chapter 7. Here is something I want you to consider very carefully. I was studying this just yesterday. And I was studying this, you know, God showed me that there is a type here that we can look at. Because the only way we study scriptures, one of the ways that to understand the implication of what God is trying to tell us is through types and shadows. That's one of the best ways to actually understand what God is trying to tell us. Because in the Old Testament, we see all this, the tabernacle of Moses, there were shadows of things that was to be fulfilled in Christ Jesus. And when we see those feasts of Jehovah, they too were shadows of what was to be fulfilled in Christ Jesus and the church and in Israel. And the same thing when we read about trees in the Bible. You know how that the Garden of Eden, the trees, they were types and shadows of the real thing. And so when we look into chapter 11, chapter 7 here. When the Lord thy God shall bring you into the land whither you go to possess it, thou shalt cast out and have cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter shalt thou not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. Remember this? No mixed marriages with unbelievers. So when we talk about mixed marriages with, as Christians, we're talking about we cannot marry unbelievers. We married believers. And yet doesn't matter whether a Chinese married a Filipino or married a white person, it doesn't matter. This is not mixed marriage in faith. It's only in the skin. And the Bible doesn't forbid it. But only as I said, there's always a social problem in certain countries where your black white marries a white. Remember that? That's only social problem that will be created. And even as you say in the paper today, just a couple of days ago, they did a survey here in Singapore. Whether, you know, about the Chinese, the Indians, and all the other races, whether you have neighbor, different races for your neighbor, you know, and would you be happy if your children married another race? And of course, conservatively, most of us prefer to keep within our own race. You understand? And as I said this, it is very unusual. As I said this before, for the Chinese to marry an Indian, the Chinese community will frown on it. Because, you see, the problem we have is racism. Is they will frown on it. But if a son marries a white woman, they will say, oh, that's good. Or a daughter married a white man, oh, that's good. Because it's like marrying upwards. But when you marry the black, you married downwards. That is, your seat is going to get degraded. Do you understand what I'm saying? So it is a racism issue. You know. Alright? And all those who say, well, Brother Ben forbid mixed marriage. I understand the social issue. But if we don't have mixed marriage, if God really forbid mixed marriage, as far as in faith is concerned, then the children of Israel will never be a mixed people. But they are a mixed people. Isn't that so? Huh? Yes, they are a mixed people. They all came from Abraham's line, yes, but look at all the different colors among the children of Israel. And even today we have Jews that are black. Ethiopian Jews. Well, they get all they were from Solomon, of course. And Sheba. And so on. You see. And we are the three sons of Noah. Yet today we have all these races of people. Huh? How many kinds of colors do we have? Among the human race that came out from Noah and his wife. And how was it that God even prophesied about him? Even by his name means burnt black. That his descendant later on became black. Why is it so? You know what? As we travel, as I said this, you are what you eat. In our study, we show from scripture, we show from scientific facts. You are what you eat. The African are what they are today. Because Ham descendant went down to Africa. Even as part of them mixed with the other race, moved or crossed eastward to India and now to part of Asia. And the African, why they are that, having kinky hair? Why do they have kinky hair? Why are the lips tendency to be thicker? It's because of the food of the land that they eat. They eat a whole lot of cassava and all the other things that they acclimatize them. They changes. You see, why are the white people fair? And they have all this colorful hair because God said, I'll bless Japheth. And they went up there to Europe, up there to Finland area, the Icelandic land, you know, the Viking land, coal country. They won't expose themselves too much of the sun too. And the food that they eat are different from what those Indian and the African eat in their country. They don't have cassava in Europe. I can tell you that. They don't have that in Europe. You are what you eat. You don't believe me? Stay in the land for another two or three generations, and then if you are still alive, watch your third generation in the land where they eat, and see whether they'll turn color. They will change the color in the skin. Have you eaten carrot before? Carotene? Take a lot of carrot and see what happens to your skin. You become yellow. Yes, sir. I'm not kidding you. Because we are all made up of chemicals, minerals of youth. And that's where the food came from, right? Huh? And that's what we are, what we eat. True enough. Huh? And if you want to eat a lot of beef steak, like when my son went to the state for 2 years, he came back, he looked like an American. Big. That's what you are, what you eat. And why are the Chinese people, you know, the brother from Sri Lanka, he said, brother, the wife especially, when he came here one time, he says, brother Gan, can you tell me the secret? So I see all the people, very slim. This woman, all very slim. They're doing big, big like us over there in Sri Lanka, you know. What is the secret? You know. Well, you know, the secret is that we eat a lot of rice, a lot of vegetables. We don't eat a lot of meat and stuff like that, you know. Legumes and some food that actually make them fat. You know. So it's the food. You are what you eat, and therefore what we are what we are anyway. All right, so, and here, let's just go on. Verse 4. For they will turn away, those, if you mix, you say Moses warned them, if your children married the other nations, and they will turn away your son from following me, then they may serve other gods. And you know what we see? We see this all very common. We see Indian men, a Christian man. You know, a Christian who comes to church very often and sing praises. But he fell in love with a sexy woman, maybe in a plane or something like that. Happened to be a Muslim. Or maybe a Hindu. And, well, they say, no, I don't want to be a Christian. You know, but the man loved her more than he loved God, so he changed his religion and get circumcised and be a Muslim. Or worship Kali, or Muthu Krishna, and whatever, Nagalingam, the gods of the Indian. And then follow the faith of the woman. You know that, don't you? Oh yes. I have seen that. Man follow after woman. And lose their faith in God. To begin with, appears to me that they are not born again. If they are, they have disowned God and rejected it. And walk away like Judah, betraying Christ, the faith that was given to him. And so Moses warned about this. That they may serve other gods, so would the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy you suddenly. Now, I want you to be careful what the words here. I want to show something here. Huh? What Moses said, how God don't like this mixture of interfaith. God said to the children of Israel, through Moses, you are a people that I've chosen. I reveal myself to you. There's no other nations that I've revealed myself to them. But to you, I've given you the real thing, the life of my word and so on. But if you should marry the others, I hated them. And my anger will come out and I will destroy you. So remember, God is against any mixture of faith. You know, God allowed the children of Israel to make proselytes of other nations. Any other nations, they are not Israel. They want to accept the faith. They will get circumcised and they will come into the nation. You understand that? But they cannot go out there and marry those people. Because they will be led away. That is to say, if any brothers here who fall in love with a woman outside, or if any sister here we fall in love with a man outside, man, during, maybe in the office when you go to work, And if they are not Christian, make sure you get them the gospel first. I told my daughter, I told my son that when they were young. And make sure they come to your father's church. Their mother used to say. You know. Because here you are, my daughter gets to know this man here was my son-in-law now. Which are blessed to have one like that. You know. And that time my daughter was out there in school, you know, in college. And we got all out during Valentine's Day. You know, this Valentine, what rubbish is that? It's all cooked by the Catholic Church. Actually, look at the history. Look at what they are doing. They make money out of this. Valentine Day. I'll be my Valentine. So Zoe had a lot of demand, young boys coming to her and said, be my Valentine. You know, we told her, don't you ever go out with them. I will go out together in groups in school. But don't go out with an individual. You know, and she often, of course, when you give her chocolate, thank you. Not going out with them. And you believe that God will guide you. And you know about marriage, you have to pray that God will give you, a wife or a husband. You know, yes, you want to get married, want to settle down, you look for one, yeah, but you must be prayerful that the Lord leads you to one that is given to you by the Lord. Not what you see with your eyes. What you look at is a character. That's what you're looking for. Not the Hollywood kind of woman out there in the world, you know. Nowadays we have in Singapore, everybody's pampering their body. Go to the spa, you know, you see an advertisement, you know, 65 kilo lost weight to 43 kilo or something like that. And sooner or later the woman become anorexic. You know, we got all this advertisement that only emphasize about the Hollywood, you know, figure of the actresses. And they don't look to a woman's character or the man's character. You have to be prayerful about this. Lest they take it away. Right here in Singapore, I have seen brothers in a message from the other fellowship in all those years. They were looking for that woman married, and then many of them were taken away by the woman. And there are some that deceived the woman. We have one time, a sister was from the Singapore Airlines that she resigned because the Singapore Airlines, you know how they dress the Sarang Kebaya. She came into the message, you know, and she came to fellowship with us for quite a while. Anyway, she was from the other fellowship, she came. And then there was this other man who works in the airline with her steward. When he found that she was now a Christian, she was then a Christian, he was very upset. You know, don't want her to go to church and all that, you know. And so the believing stewardesses says, no, I believe in Jesus and so on. And you know, what the man did? Well, came along to the church with her for a couple of weeks and said, oh yes, I believe the message. He got baptized. And after he got baptized, he said, okay, let's get married. Then after marriage, he told her, you're not my wife. And the Bible said, you should submit to the husband. Don't go to church anymore. I'm your husband. And that's the end of the story. You need to know the character of a person. They can say, oh, you pretend to be a believer. Married you. Control your life. And you know you as a sister, you are in trouble now. You're just married. There's no divorce for you. Because you have done nothing wrong to commit adultery that there could be a divorce. Or that there could be a separation. He only doesn't want you to come to church. You know. And so that's a problem we have. And that's a lot of people that caught up in this situation. Be prayerful. Be very prayerful. Marriage life is for life. Until death do you part. It's not like what we have in Hollywood. You know, marry this one, 6 months later divorce. Marry that one year later divorce. And they create a lot of bastard children. And that's what is going on. The Bible said the whole world is plunged into darkness, not just spiritually, but wickedly. Men and women having more pleasure than they love pleasure more than they love God. Alright? And verse 5, and thus shall you deal with them. You shall destroy their altars, break down the images, and cut down their groves and burn their graven images with fire. God told Moses, and tell the people when you go into the land of Canaan, destroy everything of your religion. Kill every man, kill every woman, kill every children. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God, listen carefully, the Lord thy God hath chosen you to be a special people. You believe that the Jews were God's, they are God's chosen people? Yes. Do you know that they are special? And God said, if anybody curse you, they will be cursed. If anybody bless you, they will be blessed. That's natural Israel. And don't forget, we are spiritual Israel. If anybody curse us, they be cursed. Anybody bless us, they too will be blessed. And we are special people too. You know, God blinded the eyes of the children of Israel and turned to us and take a Gentile bride. And of all the millions of people on this earth, He chose you and me. Isn't it? Huh? Just think about Brother David Rogers. He's going to put his testimony on the website. How about him being a Hindu, but very faithful Hindu? You know, Hindus put all this putu, all these red dots and white dots, you know, so that they are very holy. And then when you go to India, if you ever go to India, you will see. And all those holy men, or sometimes, I mean, not really necessarily holy, but the religious one. They go to a temple and sometimes you see them at home, coming out of the home, they have all this powder over their head, you know, on their face too, and they're just trying to show the world that they are real Hindu. And yet God saved David Rajan to show him the gospel, you know. And you were the same. We were all the same. We were once sinners. We could have all kinds of religion. We may not have a real religion, but we have our own religion to ourselves. It could be your hobby. It could be anything that you worship. That you pay so much attention in life that you don't even know the real true God. And the Lord, God, you are the special people unto him, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set His love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in numbers than any people, for you were the fewest of all people. You know, fear not, little flock. Is that alright? Jesus, the children people of God are never a whole lot of them. Just little flock. But because the Lord love you, and because He will keep the oath which He has sworn unto your father, have the Lord brought you out of the with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Now, the children of Israel, they came out of Egypt. Then they were traveling all over the wilderness, and God promised to give them the land of Canaan. The land of Canaan was already a land God promised to Abraham some 400 years before. God told Abraham that where your feet so trod, every land, every ground that your feet walked upon, it will be given to you. Huh? So Abraham came from Ur of Chaldea, from the north. River Euphrates came down all through Canaan. Right? Then of course there was a drought in the land after the children, the 12 sons were born, the 12 great-great-grandsons were born, you know, through Jacob. Then because of the drought, they were driven to Egypt. And that's why they stayed in Egypt. Now they came out, they go back and take the land. So this is the land of Canaan. The land of Canaan from the wilderness, which is right about here, Mount Seir, and just slightly above the Red Sea, all the way to Lebanon, and as far north as River Euphrates. All this land here is given to the children of Israel. Now God says, when you go into the land, one thing you remember, destroy all those wicked people. They have no place in the land. Got it? But when you pass through Mount Seir, pass through Edom, pass through Moab, leave the people alone. Don't meddle with them. Remember you read in chapter 2? Just go back to chapter 2, if you remember that. Here we have, over in verse chapter 2, verse 4, when you pass through the coves of the bread of your brethren, the children of Esau, which dwell in Seir, and they shall be afraid of you, take ye good heed upon yourself, therefore meddle not with them. And then over right in verse 9, it says, distress not the Moabites, neither contend with them in battle, for I will not give thee of their land for a possession. I have given I unto the children of Lot for the possession. So, God said to the children of Israel, when you go and take the land, you're going to pass through the land where Esau's people are. Don't be afraid of you. Don't fight with them. Don't meddle with them because that land I've given to them. And when you pass through Moab, the same thing, no matter with them, I've not given you that land, the land to you. I've given it to them for their inheritance. Now, who are these Edom? Who are the Edomites? They are the descendants of Esau. And Esau was a brother to Jacob. Is that right? But Egypt, remember Esau sold his birthright. He sold his birthright. What about the Moabite? Who is Moabite? Who is Moab and Ammon? They were the children of Lot by his own two daughters. Do you remember? Now, I want you to think for a moment what the Lord is showing right here. Being touched in shadows. Esau and Moab, they were related to Abraham. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? Moab, son of Lot, through his own daughter. Lot was a nephew of Abraham. But God never called Lot to the Canaan land. He called Abraham. Am I right? So the promise was to Abraham, not to Lot. But Lot followed the uncle and learned from the uncle about Yahweh. That's why we have Balaam that came out from that Moab region. And yet, Balaam knew about Yahweh. Isn't that so? See? So they were somewhat related. Therefore, we will say to Abraham. And so the same thing with Esau. Abraham's grandson. But then he sold his birthright. And he spurned their inheritance, so to speak. But yet God remembers them. So the land of Edom and Moab, God told the children of Israel, don't you touch it. I didn't give you that land to you. I give it to them. Just leave them alone. But when you pass by them, you conquer all the land that is on the east of Jordan. Reuben Gad got the inheritance east of Jordan and a half of Manasseh. The rest of all the other tribes, when they cross over Jordan, they conquer the land and they get the land divided for them on the west of Jordan. Now, when you look at this, Canaan land was a common land. So to speak, before Abraham went down. It's a land inhabited by giants. And a giant came from the son of Canaan. Came from the descendants of Canaan. And Canaan was a bastard son of Ham by his own mother. Remember that. But that land was foreordained by God to be given to Israel. So now, with all the wickedness that exists in the land, God says, when you go in, destroy them. They have no right to this land. I have not given them, but I have given it to you. Now the same thing, brother and sister, the Bible that you hold in your hand, it's a common Bible, so to speak. You can find it in the hotel. You can find even unbelievers reading the Word of God, reading the Bible. Don't you ever seen that? Yes. They have students studying the Bible in schools. Religious knowledge. So the Bible is a common book, so to speak. That anybody in the world can read it. But it is not given to them. It is given to you. It is given to us. To me. Do you understand that? Take what belongs to us. Why did God not give it? Why is it that God, you talk to the denomination or to some people about some of the Bible, or some of the things about the Bible. How can they understand it? They can't understand until they have the Holy Ghost, so to speak. They may understand a few things. Oh yeah, God created the heavens and the earth. Yeah, the sin came. Adam and Eve, they disobeyed God. Well, generally they know some of these things. They know, yes, the children of Israel, the Bible said they were children, people of God. But the real thing of God, the life of the Word of God is not given to them. Now the land of Canaan is reached. God wanted to give it to His own children. A special people. As God, as Moses said, you are a special people. So go and possess it. But when you go there, you know you're going to meet some of your brethren, so to speak. Huh? You know, your Bible uses the word brethren, means kinsmen, related people. Esau, the Edomites, Moab, the Moabites, they were related to you. But don't you never read them, just leave them alone, so to speak. Leave them alone. They have a special, they can eat whatever they want up there. But I don't want to give you that land. I want to give you far better than what Esau had. And what his people are having. I want to give you far better food than what the Moabites are eating now in that land which I give them. On the east of the Dead Sea. Just leave them alone. So today we have the same in types and shadows. The Bible is our promised word. Like the Canaan of Canaan was the promised land. The world, they can take the Bible. But God is not giving it to them. He gave it to spiritual Israel. A special people. And you know, with the message that God had given us through Brother Branham, to come back to this book. And after Moses died, as Bob M. died, Joshua's ministry took over. And remember this, when we talk about Joshua's ministry, it's not a one-man ministry. Joshua means Jesus is Jehovah, or Jesus is Savior. Joshua and Caleb, they go as a pair. God always work, in a sense, to verify something that is truthful, is always by two. You know that? Two will always be a witness. Caleb, the name Caleb, is a sound, yep. Barking of a dog, yipping away. You know when a dog yep means he's happy. Yes, I agree with you. Master, when he says, let's go out, honey, let's go out, doggy, and I go out, Ben, whatever you want to call that, Roger, or George, whatever you want to call that dog. And he says, let's go out for a walk, you take a leash and he'll start yipping. Yep, let's go. Means he'll agree. When Joshua left the children of Israel across the river Jordan to conquer the land. Caleb represents the church. So there is a ministry in the church today. We have the fivefold ministry and the body. We have Joshua and Caleb. There's always will be a ministry. So when we get across this, when we come to the message, we come back to this word. Now we are supposed to take possession of this land, this word. Remember, the children of Israel said, well, we have Abraham as our father. Well, the same thing Esau can say that. The Edomite can say that. The Moabites can say that in some way. that we are related to Abraham. The churches today can say they're related to Abraham too. The churches today can claim Jesus too. But the thing is this, we have three kinds of people here in the Bible mentioned. The Canaanites, the wicked people. Then we have the related brethren, the Edomites and the Moabites and Israel. The land is given to Israel. It's not given to the Edomites, nor to the Moabites. And today we see the same. The Bible is not given to religious people out there, be in a denomination, be religious people in whatever organization. The truth is not given to them. It is only given to those elect of God. And yet for those out there, we see that we have all the other camps around this message. Just like the Edomites. Just like the Moabites. Or Moabites. And Moabites, the woman. There are those that will hang on to the words of Brother Branham. You know, for years God was telling me, just leave them alone. No matter with them, just leave them alone. They have their reward. They have their land. So to speak, they have their words that they are eating on. I'm not giving you that to you. Because you are going to claim the promised word that I've given you. Through today's Moses, or through this generation's Moses, Brother Branham, who told us to get in. And we were told to get into the word of God. So let us get into the word of God. Don't hang on the side of the border. Don't stay on the boundary outside of Canaan land. Esau, or the Edomites and Moabites, they never were part of the Holy Land. You know what happened? Years later, centuries later, the Edomites and the Moabites, they lost those land. And if you look into the type and shadow of the Bible, you remember Ruth. Who was Ruth? Ruth was not a Jewish woman. Not a Jewish woman. You understand that? She was a Moabite. Right? And God brought her into the family line of the genealogy of Jesus Christ. So you have all those people out there today that heard the words of Abraham, who heard today's Moses, so to speak. To go, take the word of God, to come back to His promised word. To go, take it. And believe in it. Not stay on the boundary outside the land of Canaan. But you know, through a lot of process of time, all those, I would say, through my years of ministry, especially in the Philippines, when I first went there in the early 80s, 82 was my first time when I went there, till just the first maybe 5 years when I was there, the churches who knew me were so, we would say, hang up with having convention. They invite those from Canada, those from America, and they got nothing. When they invite me over, okay, let's stay with the word. Let's get into the word of God. And after two or three visits, they realize that's what they should do. And today, there's so much changes now in the Philippines. And even more so that some of these brethren, these churches, these ministers are telling me now that those on the border always staying and saying what Brother Abraham said, now they're beginning to open their ear to listen what these brethren are saying to them. That you need to cross over Jordan completely. Come over to the whole Word of God. Don't stay on the boundary side. Don't stay outside. You know. But you know what happened? Edomite and the Moabites, even though they have their land, they lost those lands to the enemies. You know, there's the same thing, brother and sister. If we don't want to stay in the Word of God, what do you think will happen to us by and by? If you want to compromise the Word of God, what do you think will happen to you? By and by you will say, oh, yeah, yeah, it's okay this way and that way, and you slowly drift away. Do you understand? That's why God told Jerome Israel, when you go in, you saw all the wicked ones, those that worship other gods that are not gods. Destroy their altars, their high places, their temples. Because I don't want you to have anything to do with those things. And so let us remember it. Either we are Jews, spiritual Israel completely, unless you think that, well, to be an Esau, or Edomites, or the Moabites, that's okay. We still have our land. Say what the prophet said, whatever it is, like today, what they are doing, don't. We want to know what God said. It's not what Paul said. It's not what Peter said. It's not what Moses said. It's not what Brother Branham said. It's what God said. He that have an ear to hear, let him hear what Brother Branham said. Is that what he's saying? Or he that have a ear to hear, let him hear what Moses said? Not at all. It is here what the Spirit of God said. Moses always reminding them of what God did for them. What God did for them. And he said, when I was up in the mountain, you know, it was God who was giving you the commandments, not me. Do you understand that? But people are always worshipping men. In the days of Jesus, the Pharisees, we have Moses. We have the prophet, we have Abraham as our father. And Jesus Christ said, they're all dead. And the great day, and Solomon is standing right here. Isn't it right? You see. If you look into a man, you will be always questioning, is God among us or not? If you look to the Spirit of God, if you are in contact with the Lord, if you are, God is real to you, if the Word is real to you, not the Word of Brother Branham, Paul, or whatever it is, it's the revelation of the fullness of the inspired Word of God. If God opened up your eyes to see the truth, that is God dealing with you. He may get a message to a man, or any man, but if that revelation is true, that is what you want, because it comes from God through some channels. But don't worship the channels. Worship God. You see. That's why we have a problem today. There's so many people. And that's the reason why I recently got an email from this guy, this Zambian. You know, I know him in the early years. He was learning, but somehow, all of a sudden now, he got the spirit of Dalton Bruce. And he wrote and talked like Dalton Bruce. You know? What do you think? How did the spirit hop on one to another? There's always something involved here. What caused Judas Iscariot to be what he was? If it wasn't for the 30 pieces of silver, if it wasn't in his mind for something that he wanted. Judas Iscariot wanted to have power. He wanted to use Jesus to topple the Roman control. Just that. Barsabbas, or Barabbas. In those days there were a lot of messiahs who called, they wanted to, you know, liberate Israel from the rules of Rome. If you want power, if you want money, popularity, money woman will be a downfall. That's true. And that's what Judah and Israel were warned about this. Stay clear of that. Alright? So don't stay away from the land of Canaan. Get in and take it. Don't stay on the boundary. So now the rest of the chapter, in verse 12 onwards, is the blessing of the, if the children will be obedient, they will always be fruitful. The cattle, the woman, you know, the land will be fruitful and so on. Alright? And in chapter 8, here is a good land, of course, as Paul said, and Moses said, to be possessed. But in verse 2 says, thou shalt remember the ways which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and to prove you and to show you what was in thy heart, whether thou would keep his commandment or not. You know, God is still testing us. He's still putting us all on trial. Some will go back to it for a while because of some situation. They are looking at something different. God, let them be for a while and bring them back a little later. And there'll be a lot of pain many times, you know. You see, as already Moses told them, when you go into the land of Canaan, when you come to the promised word, come promised land, remember to keep the word of God, and be wise and have understanding. You know, that's the only way you can get understanding of wisdom and understanding and knowledge. It's the word of God. You know that, don't you? That's the only way. And if you don't exercise your spiritual mind as to the word of God, you will slowly be sifted here and there. You will slowly be tossed to and fro. And you know what? When people are caught up in all this deception, spending years after years, then later on, oh, now I see. Not that they don't want to see, or not that they cannot see this, that in one way they were not using or exercising their spiritual mind to discern the truth. So they wasted all those years. And I don't think that it's a good thing to have our year wasted in something being, you know, that holds us in bondage to something that is not true. You understand that, don't you? Alright? Let's continue. Verse 3, and he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger, fed thee with manna, that thou know not, neither let thy father know, that he might make thee know that men do not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God do men live. Yes? That's what we live by. And yet, you know, later on the children of Israel, they're forbidden to sin again, as usual. After Moses passed away, after Joshua passed away, and then the judges came because there were a lot of problems. And there will always be problem in Israel, and there will always be problem to the spiritual Israel that we are. Every church will have problem. All you think is to let the devil come in and hop into somebody and bring that contention in the church. And as I said this before, the devil goes to church. Don't think he doesn't. The devil is a very religious spirit. He loves going to church. You know, he just come into the church and cause trouble. Just like in the day of Job. When the saints of God were gathered before God, here the devil came right in and accused Job through somebody in the congregation. Yeah, that's what happened. But and the rest of Israel, that they are just so that they don't have. But verse 8, they don't have anything that they lack for all those 40 years. But verse 8 says this, it's a land of wheat. Now there are 7 fruits of the land. The 7 fruit of the Spirit. Huh? And the Bible gives us the Spirit of God. The Bible says that we have the Spirit of Christ. We have the 7 virtues of Christ. So here you have the 7 fruits of the land. Land of wheat. Barley. Vines, 4 fig trees, 5 pomegranate, 6 olive oil, and 7 honey. And the land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scales, and thou shalt not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron, and out of which thou may dig brass, and so on. Blessed with all those things that they need for their livelihood. And verse 11, beware that thou forget not the Lord. Because here is a warning of Moses. You know, when the people come to a place where they have plenty food, they tend to neglect God. A lot of people think that, I hope that those of you who are blessed by God in your career or in your job, whatever it is, don't think you get all this promotion by your strength. You know? Of course, out there, the people who are not Christians say, I work hard. That's why in 5 years I became a millionaire because I work hard. Singapore is a country where millionaires are made almost every month. Is that right? Yeah, sure. You read about a man who got $400 and he started to sell kebab. And only I think about 4 or 5 years he became a millionaire. I work hard, he says. I have the drive. You know, it's the same thing being a preacher. like a theologian said, a well-known theologian who really, ministered the word of God, he said, a man of God is making in such a way that he has the energy and the diligence to move and do what God wants him to do. But it is not by our own strength. It is not by my strength that I do what I did. It is by the strength of God. So remember, if God prosper you, it is not because you do it by your own hand. It's because God prosper you. Remember, we are children of God. We don't talk like the world. And children of Israel here were warned. They don't forget in verse 40 that the heart be lifted up and then you forget the Lord thy God. And they say, oh, through my greatness, the word I have prosper. Verse 17, and thou shalt say in thy heart, by my power and might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. Verse 9, chapter 9, of course, is a destruction of the land of Canaan. God always remembered them to tell them again. Moses keep on reminding them. And verse 9, we see, of course, this is the only place where in the scripture there's only one man that ever fasted for 40 days and 40 nights supernaturally, without water, without food. And that's Moses. Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights, but he took water. Jesus fasted. Fasting was not a supernatural fast. It was an ordinary spiritual fast. But Moses' fasting was God called him and met him on the mountain, Mount Sinai. And he was spending out there 40 days without water because there was no water up there in the presence of the Lord. He could not die. But Jesus, when he fasted, he needed water. That's why the first thing, how do we know? We know that after he fasted, the first thing is, the devil told him, he says, why don't you turn, you're hungry, why don't you turn the piece of stone to bread? Because if you fasted for a long time with water for 40 days, naturally after the third day, your kidney will shut down and you will have kidney failure. And yet when Satan tempted him, he was not talking about water. If we ever are thirsty, the first thing between food and water, you will take water first. You won't take food. So anybody say that Jesus Christ's fasting was supernatural, it's wrong. Jesus Christ's fasting was not supernatural fast. Only when you have supernatural fast like Moses, caught in the presence of the Lord, you cannot die. Like the three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego thrown into the fiery furnace, they could not die because God's presence was there. Because why? How did I know that there was a supernatural presence of God? Because there was a fourth man walking among them. Is that alright? None of them had the opinion of God. God was right there. That's why they couldn't die. See? Alright? So, here the rest, of course, is all about the tablet of stone. How did God give them the Ten Commandments? And Moses continued to exhort them. Even though Moses reminded them, you know, what happened in Mount Horeb. When he came down, he saw them commit the sin, he threw those two tablets of stone and broke it. And God later on told Moses, hew two tablets of stone like you did in the first place. And break it up again and I will put the commandment on it again. And this time, when I give you the stones, build an ark of the covenant and put it in there. As if God is trying to remember, cause Moses to remember, don't get upset again and break my commandments, huh? Keep into the ark of the covenant. You see. And we know, and that's exactly what it is. The word of God, the commandments, all lies in Jesus Christ, the ark. He was the human ark made of flesh. Carrying the word of God, walking on 2 feet. And today, we are all the ark of God. So to speak, we keep the word of God in our heart. Remember, keep it in our heart. Put it in there. And don't you break it, saith the Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. May the word that we learn, Father, from time to time, a little thing here and there, a little understanding, a little admonition from you. We pray that, Father, we always be mindful of all these wonderful blessings of your word and to keep thy commandment, Lord, and to walk in the light of the gospel that you have given us. We thank you for what we have received. We bless the holy name. Thank you for today, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.